Last week we started into this series called Burn the Ships, and I'm hoping that this is going to be a few weeks of really helping us kind of think about things in our life that we're holding on to that we really need to let go. So if you weren't here last week, I'd urge you to go onto our website, listen to last week so you'd be all caught up. But basically I told the story of a guy by the name of Hernan Cortez. Probably, you know, all depends on how good your history teacher was. You've never heard of this guy, or you have. And he was one of the explorers after Columbus, you know, in 1492, sailed the ocean blue, and came back because the world went flat and he didn't fall off. It led to all this exploring taking place and going on from Spain. Hernan Cortez lands in Cuba first, then he gets a crew together and they land in what is now Mexico, and nobody wants to leave. All the guys want to stay on the ship, and you know, what are we going to do? And so he gives the order to burn the ships. So the guys have nothing holding them back, and they set forth into Mexico to do some exploring. The video you just watched is by a group called For King and Country. They did it in response to a situation that was going on in their own family. One of the singers, his wife, was addicted to anti-nausea medicine and was just struggling. He left the tour, came home, and she had what he would call the burn the ships moment, why they wrote the song, when she flushed the pills and move forward. So we started last week by asking this big question, you know, what are you holding on to that's holding you back? So you can reach in the jar and you can pull your hand out of the jar, but as soon as you hold on, we're in trouble now, okay? Because now we end up dragging this thing around, and there's things that we're holding on to that are in fact holding us back. And so last week we just asked you to identify what this is that you are holding on to that is in turn holding you back, that is keeping you from moving forward to what God wants you to do. According to Jesus in John 10:10, we are called to live a life that thrives, a rich and satisfying life, okay? That life I don't think is defined by holding on to things that are holding us back. It's actually being set free to what Jesus has done for us. So that was our question. Hopefully this week you went and thought, okay, so what is it that I'm holding on to that's holding me back? And if we can continue this week, I want to continue this thought, because maybe you ask this question, well, what's wrong with this, right? I mean, I don't know, look silly dragging this around, okay? What's wrong with holding on to things? Yeah, they might be holding me back, but I don't know. I think my life's going pretty well. I mean, compared to everybody else, you know, continuing, you know, to the train wreck I hear in the office every day, I don't think I'm that. Yeah, there's probably some things I should let go of, but, you know, what's the big deal with holding on? See, I wondered last week if anyone asked that question. What's the big deal? What does it matter if I'm holding on to things that are holding me back? And I think it's because we forget this simple truth. We all know it, we just forget this truth, that the past has a way of showing up in the present and affects the future. We forget that the past shows up in the present and affects the future. It just does, okay? We all know it, we've all seen it, it's all happened to us before, but we tend just to forget that. The past has a way of showing up in the present. And we're like, wait a minute, I thought I dealt with that. I thought that was over. I thought that was past. And then it has a way to affect the future. So if you are, in fact, holding on to something that is holding you back, I'm just telling you, this is in your present, and it is going to affect the future unless you are going to do something about holding on to things that are holding you back. I also think a couple things are in play here that I want to talk about this morning. The first is, we just need to embrace this, that sometimes we hold on because what is known is safer than the unknown. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah, I know what this is. I know what it is I'm holding on to that's holding me back. If I let go, I don't know what's next. And sometimes we stay in destructive relationships and in bad patterns because it's just safer than not doing that and having no idea what is next. In fact, did you know there's a saying that kind of goes with this, and it's this, okay? Better the devil you know than the devil you don't. Now, I don't know why somebody came up with that, okay? So some of you might be saying, yeah, but I know what this is. I know how it affects my life. I know what it does to my marriage. And, you know, I can manage this. I can deal this. Okay. And so sometimes we're like, I don't know what will happen if I just let go of it. I don't know what's next. Okay, it's the reason so many people will stay in jobs that are really tough and difficult. Yeah, my boss is crazy, he's an idiot, but you know what? The next one might be worse, okay? And because the next one might be worse, we hold on to things sometimes that we shouldn't be holding on that are just ultimately holding us back. And sometimes, let's just be honest, when things are unknown, when we don't know what the future is, it's very difficult at times to let go of some things in our life. And I think that happens to all of us. I think currently, as a church, we are experiencing some of this, okay? We know it's time to let go of where we've been and the group of churches we were part of, but the unknown's pretty scary, and we have no idea what that looks like. And so we're trying to figure this thing out. And let's just be honest, it's just easier to do this. It is, okay? It is just easier to do this, because let me add another factor to you why it's just easier to do that, okay? Because sometimes we hold on because change requires work. Change requires work, okay? All anybody should have told me in August when we made some decisions was how much letting go was going to require of work and things to do. Okay? I'm going to have been like, I don't know. It's been a lot. I think it's absolutely, totally worth it. But part of the reason we don't let go, because letting go requires work. Why is it then? Why is it every year? January 1st, that was only a month ago. Come on. Many people, come on. Resolutions. I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit. I'm going to lose, right? I'm going to do all this stuff, okay? I'm certain if we ask the people at the Y, all of a sudden there are less people showing up there, okay? What happens, okay? Because the treadmills work, isn't it, okay? Zumba's work. I mean, you know, the stuff's work. It's work to change. It's work to go in a different direction. It's work to let go into something else. And quite often, let's be honest, part of our problem is we're just at times lazy and we don't want to do the work it's going to require to let go and move into something else that God has in store for us. But it's always worth it. And that's what I want you to see this morning. It's always worth it to let go. It is always worth it to let go because God has something incredible in store for us if we would simply let go and move into the future that he has for us. To show you this, I want to turn to an Old Testament prophet. His name is Isaiah. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there to Isaiah 43. If you have the Bible app, go to the events page. You will find us and all the verses are there. We are going to be in Isaiah 43. I'm going to hit a couple verses before we hit the main section that I want to kind of look at this morning. But I think God, through Isaiah, is going to address his people about just this very thing. And I'm just reading it over the past couple weeks going, oh, I love this passage. I love it because of what God declares in this passage. And why? Because of what God declares, every single person here should be excited for the moment we let go and we stop holding on to the things that are holding us back because of what God has in store for us. So just a couple things about Isaiah. I don't know if you've tried to read through the Bible and ever made it to Isaiah, okay? Isaiah is a big, huge book. Most of us, when we think about Isaiah, Isaiah had some prophecies about Jesus. And so we remember those things. Those are kind of quoted for us in the book of Matthew. So we're kind of used to Isaiah, maybe a little bit about that. Isaiah talks about the cross, things like that. But Isaiah, okay, he is a prophet during a very difficult season, okay? The difficult season was God was about to move his people into exile. That means the Babylonians came in, it took them all into captivity, it took some of them away, some of them stayed, and Nebuchadnezzar decimated the place, okay? He decimated the place. He tore down the temple, he destroyed the place, okay? And so Isaiah's the prophet during that time, and he has to tell the people some very, very hard and difficult things. Early on in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah's one of his best friends dies, who is the king. But in the year that King Uzziah died, he sees the Lord, and it's an incredible passage you want to read. But he was going through immense sorrow at that time. So Isaiah's during this time, and he gets to tell the people, you will be exiled, okay? Now, that's just not a popular message. I'm just telling you. We would not tune in if somebody was on the air telling us that in so many days, okay, a foreign country is going to come in and wipe us out, okay? We wouldn't be going, oh, yeah, to that, okay? I want to listen to the podcast, the 24-hour stream. I want to listen to that, okay? We would probably do what the Israelites did, okay? Turn them off, except for that, it was beat them up, throw them in jail, do all sorts of things that both Isaiah and Jeremiah dealt with. So he's got to tell them the people will be exiled, but some, and this is where you ought to read some of those sections of scripture, some of the most incredible promises of God to his people that we look and we adopt for ourselves come during the time where God has to tell them they're going into exile. If you've ever used the verse in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord," okay? And you're like, wow, that's such a hopeful verse. Do you know what that's in? That's in, you're going to Babylon, you're getting exiled, and your house is getting destroyed, okay? And then it's, "I know the plans I have for you." And God reserves some of his greatest promises and some of the greatest hope-filled statements for these moments where his people are going to be exiled. So I want to lead you up into Isaiah chapter 43 to a couple of verses, but I want you to see what he's going to do along the way. This is God speaking through Isaiah. "Do not be afraid. I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Well, isn't that odd? Wait a minute. You're destroying us. We're going into exile. Our temple's being... What do you mean? Okay? Because we have a hard time dealing with our relationship with God when things are difficult. Okay? We have a hard time. We all do. Okay? It's just like the book of Job, which is where I'm at in my year reading. The plan I'm going through has got me in Job right now. And you just want to yell at his friends to tell him to shut up because they're all saying the same thing. "Job, you're bad. Job, you're evil. Job, you must have sinned." I mean, they were no help to him. And Job's struggling because he's lost literally everything. And here's God saying, "I know you're going to lose everything. Don't be afraid. I've ransomed you. I called you by name. You are mine." He says it again, just a few verses down. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Down to verse 13. "From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done." He just declaring to them, "I'm in charge. I'm in control. The Babylonians are not more powerful. I'm in charge. I'm allowing this because of what I'm going to do through this." Okay? And he's just setting them up. Okay? This is what the Lord says. In fact, he tells them this. "Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sakes I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of." So I'm going to take care of them. I am going to deal with them. But starting in verse 16, he does something very interesting that I want you to see what he does to them. He starts reminding them. He starts reminding them of what he's done in the past. Look at this. "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, and their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick." God's like, remember that? Can we just have a memory lesson for a moment? Go back, Red Sea, Egyptian army drowned, you all were told this as kids. Let's go back and talk about that. Because he wanted to remind them he has ransomed and redeemed and saved his people before. He will do it again. And what's fascinating is what he says next. After he tells them, basically, to remember how he worked and to remember what he did, he says this, "But forget all that." Wait a minute, you just reminded us of all that. Why are we now going to forget all that? So remember when we said that in the Bible, quite often when you see the word "forget," it means to set aside, like Paul did. Paul did not forget he was Saul. He didn't forget all the terrible things he did. He just set that aside, and it no longer affected his life. That part of his past did not show up in his present and did not affect his future. He had been redeemed and saved and set free, and he had let go of that. So God's, after he reminds them, "I did all that, remember?" You know, and they would have sung the songs, "A horse and rider thrown into the sea." They would have known all of this. Forget all that. Set all that aside for a moment. Why? This is incredible. "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do for you. I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it?" Isn't this incredible? Set aside everything. I know you want me to show up and drown an army again, I guess, right? You want me to show up and do the same thing I've always done. This tells us something very important about God. God is not nostalgic. God is not kept in a box where he has to operate like he's always operated in our life. He is about doing something new in our lives. So, in other words, if Israel just said, well, no, you got to save us like you did before. If Israel held on to the familiar, it would miss the new that God was doing. If they held on to the familiar, if God had to do it the way God always had to do it, okay, if it always had to be that way, they would miss the new that God was doing. This is what's important for us, because we're in the same boat, okay? We're in the same boat. When we choose to hold on and not let go, because this is safer, and this is known, and hey, everybody else is doing it, so why do I have to stop, right? This is just the way it is. When we do this, when you make a choice that I'm going to hold on, yeah, I know it's holding me back, and I know I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to hold on anyway. When you make that choice, we miss the new that God wants to do in and through us. That's right. When we let go of this, and it no longer holds us back, God has something new for us. And that is what he is inviting us into, being a part of the new that he has in store for us, if we would let go. God cannot do something new if you're just going to sit around and hold on to the same thing that's holding you back. The same thing, year after year, day after day, you know, hour after hour, that's holding you back. If you're not going to let this go, you are hampering the new that God wants to do in and through your life. You are hampering that. You are just stopping that, because God's not going to force you. God's not going to say, put it down. Come on, put it down. Hands up, put it down. Okay, now I'm going to make you do what I want you to do. That's not how God operates. God operates where we have a free will. That means this is our choice. This is your choice. This is my choice. What we do with what we are holding on to and what we believe about the future and what it holds if we will let go, this is our choice. God says, I have something new in store for you. I have something great in store for you. But I cannot do it with you holding on in the past, with you holding on to what is holding you back. I can't do it. I want to do it. But you are holding on to something that if you would let it go, I have something incredible in store for you. So can we return to last week where we went through our list? Because I think we have to be reminded of what this might be that we are holding on to that is holding us back. That if we don't let go of it, we are going to miss the new that God has in store for us. See, so we said what? Sometimes this is sin. Sometimes this is doing things that hurt us and hurt the you beside the you. Okay? Sometimes this is just destructive sin. Okay? And I realize some of the things that God calls sin, we call normal. We call, you know, that's the way we live in 2019 America, okay? That's just the way we do it. God just says, no, I don't care if it seems normal. I don't care if everybody's doing it. I know how destructive this is. I know how much damage this is doing to you, and it's doing to the you beside you, okay? I know everybody's doing it. I'm asking you, for the sake of you and for the sake of the you beside you and for the sake that I have redeemed and saved you and offered this to you, would you let that go? Would you let that go? I know you think this is everything, and I know you think this is the most important, and you're not going to be normal if you're not doing what everybody else is doing, but please let it go, because there is something new that God has for us that is so much better than this. But we tend to hold on to this, and sometimes this is just sin. This is just things that hurt us and hurt the you beside the you. Sometimes these are bad relationships, okay? Friendships. Bad dating relationships, okay? And yeah, but you know, and you know, like I always say, yeah, but she's cute and he's hot, and it's okay. Everybody else does it this way, and I understand you've watched all the romantic comedies, and it always works out in the end, right? Okay, turn it off for a moment, okay? This is probably doing a lot of damage to you. I know what you think. Yeah, well, what am I gonna do if I let go of this? Go to farmersonly.com. I mean, what am I going to do, okay? What am I going to do if I let go of this? That's what our problem is, isn't it? It's just safer. It's just, why do we know what this is? I don't know what the next person's going to be. And so we hold on to things that really hold us back because we're so uncertain about the unknown that is out there. Bad habits, same way. Same way. Things are hurting us. Things are hurting the people beside us. And we're just, you know, Loctite because we just can't imagine what our life looks like without that, without letting go of that thing. And the last one I told you last week that I think is really important, that I think we just skip over at times. Good things at the wrong times. Hobbies, second businesses, right? Things that we want to do, they're just at an awful time in our life, okay? And this is why God gives us priorities, okay? So that we know when we're messing these up, okay? And you're like, yeah, but this is really good. This is really, really good. And it's okay that I'm holding on to it. No, it's just the wrong season. And if you'd let it go, God might do something even greater in another season of your life with this very thing. It's about trusting that God has what is best for us in store and that what he does is always better than what we are holding on to that is holding us back. It's always better. It's always better. And it's always exciting. But you know what? It's at times, it doesn't feel very safe walking into the unknown. And it doesn't feel very good when you're not sure what's going on. And this might be a lot of work to let go, but I'm telling you, it always seems that God has something great in store for us. The new is always better than where we came from and where we're about. I told you before, I told you in August when we met, that this for me has so much to do with where we are as a church right now. It has so much to do with where we are as a church. Because, you know, and if you weren't here in the meeting of August, this was your pastor, okay? This is me when it came to so much about what we were doing and what we were about. This is me. I was content with dragging this around as long as possible, okay? And sometimes God gives you nudges in certain ways to move you to where he wants you to be, okay? And so, I have no idea what this is going to be. I'm telling you what I'm watching so far, okay? I have all the answers to this, okay? I don't have everything figured out. But this letting go from what I'm seeing, personally, is incredible because of the new that God has in store for us. So if we as a church are looking at where we are going to land. So this week, if you're not friends with me on Facebook, I will share it on the church page as well. I told you that last Sunday, the organization that we were looking at joining, called ARC, the Association of Related Churches, that last Sunday they launched 25 churches across the United States. Okay? They made the news twice this week for the right reasons. You know what I'm talking about? Not they had to fire the pastor, the church in Chicago that sued two of its elders and excommunicated them. I mean, okay, they made it for the right reasons. So pastor in Texas, one of these 25 starts, and you can see the news footage. I'll make sure we put it on our church Facebook page. This church in Texas that started, the pastor, he was from that town. He left. He was in Alabama working with another church. Came home to start this church. Okay, it's called City of Hope Church, and I do not remember the name of the town in Texas. Okay, and they start this last week. Last Sunday was their first Sunday. Meeting in a school. They set up 250 chairs. You know how many people showed up? Over 600. Standing room only. They are just floored and absolutely amazed, okay? They won, like, wow. I'm watching that going, wow, this is exciting. So this morning, opened up my news feed. That's just something I do on Sunday morning, okay? Their pastor taught me that. You should know what's going on in the world, okay? And then it talks about a church, and I'm going, oh, no, right? But that's my first, oh, no, what did somebody do now, okay? It's not. It's a church in Texas. Again, another church in Texas. Not sure why, okay? Large church. Again, they are also a member of this group called ARC. They opened a new location for church. Probably in a location I never would have imagined. In a prison. Yeah. And, I mean, right? Captive audience, I guess, right? But they got the approval to do this. And so they started a whole nother campus, for lack of a better word, in a prison to minister to people there. I've never heard that for church plants and all sorts of places. Satellite campuses everywhere, but in a prison, oh my goodness, okay? So I'm watching that and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, could it be this is what God has in store if we just let go, and that the new is something incredible. And this is true for all of us, that this list of four things are all things that you and I at times will do this to. And we will make every excuse why it's okay to hold on. Everybody else is, you don't understand. Okay, we make every excuse. But if we would let go, I'm just telling you, the new God has in store for us is so much better than whatever it is you are holding on to. So here's my question again. What are you holding on to that's holding you back? And if you're hoping you made through last Sunday, why don't you ask that question again? Okay, I don't want to answer it. I don't want to answer it, you know, because you already know the answer. Just how long are you going to keep going, holding on to something that's holding you back? And so here's where our theme, Burning the Ships, is. Burning the ship is recognizing the good, the new that God has in store for us if we will let go. That's all it is. It is recognizing the new God has in store for us if we are simply willing to let go. So we're going to get ready to take communion. We do this the first Sunday of every month. You're a follower of Jesus. We invite you to take it with us. Do you realize that on the night that Jesus gathered with the disciples, one called communion, it was called Passover. And the disciples had all been at Passover time and time and time and time again. Okay? It was the same thing every year. They celebrated the passing over of the death angel in the land of Egypt. You read about it in the book of Exodus. They celebrated that every year. It was a huge celebration. But on that night, Jesus took what they always had done and did something new. Because he held up the bread. The bread that meant something to everybody in the room. And he said, "This is my body." Time out, Jesus. That's not what we learned growing up, okay? It was always this way. No, there's something new. There's something new. Then he took the cup, which they knew was the cup of redemption, and said, "Yeah, it's redemption because I'm going to lay down my life for you." Jesus took what they had always done, and he made it something new. And we continue to do it today as something that took place for thousands of years before Jesus took it and made it new. And what was in store for all of us in the new that he had made is tremendous. So we're going to pray together, and then we're going to take those elements, and we're going to eat and drink together, and we're going to be reminded of the new that Jesus did on that night, the new Jesus did on the cross for us, and the new that can happen in our life if we would let go of the things that are holding us back. So pray with me now, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that...